Going hot? Real hot, apparently. Welcome to the Felt Recoil Podcast. It's episode number 152. Chris and Patrick back with you. How you doing, Mr. Hulon?
Not too bad. And yourself?
Fantastic. I'm going to get situated. And we're going to have a good time. There's a lot to get to if we have the time. Stump, where are you? What time will you get here, Stump? I was hoping Stump would be here this week. I think he's coming next week. If he wasn't planning on being here next week, now he has to. There's a petition going around. They want the traffic chutes taken down on 85. Have you seen this?
Yeah, actually, you sent it to me.
Did I?
You did.
I got to stop drinking. I don't remember that. I tell you that Stump was coming on to talk about it, or I just send you the article, like the change?
No, you sent me a petition a couple days ago, I think.
Did I?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go look.
Or you tagged me in a post or something.
I don't know.
I don't even know the means by which I received it.
I tagged you, that was pure accident. I was trying to tag. I had a conversation with a friend recently who was driving near Charlotte, and he told me that he takes a different route. It's all back roads because he fears the traffic chutes on 85 so much.
They're pretty bad.
He won't do it. Yeah, I didn't tag you. I tagged him. Okay, man, you're gaslighting me right now.
All right.
Anyway, Stump is going to come on and talk with us about that. I suppose he drives it quite often for his work. I know he lives in Spartanburg County and drives up 85 up and back all the time. I'm assuming he'll be an expert, and we get his judgment on it, and that'll be awesome. Anyway, welcome to the program. And before we get into all the madness, let's talk about our charity of choice. This week, it's Operation Underground Railroad, because coming up on July 30th, that's going to be the World Day Against Trafficking. You have the opportunity to rise up and get loud in your community. Greenville, South Carolina, where we are, is having an event. You can go downtown to Falls Park on July 30th. And stand in support of Operation Underground Railroad. If you're not familiar, this is an organization that's doing God's work on earth. They rescue children and adults out of human trafficking all around the world. These are people who have literally taken children back from ISIS. ISIS bought these kids. People are not for sale, but ISIS got them and took them as slaves and was, you know, abusing them in God knows what sort of ungodly manner. And Tim Ballard and the folks from Operation Underground Railroad went over there and got those kids back. So a fantastic organization. Look them up at OURrescue.org. That's OURrescue.org. Okay. There's so much going on in the world. So much negative. It's hard to encapsulate everything that happened in the last week into the next 60 minutes. But we're going to do our best. We're going to talk about Black Lives Matter in Cuba, which I love. I love, love, love what Black Lives Matter said about Cuba because I like being right. I know you do too. We'll talk about the Dems from Texas who flew to D.C. without masks on. I think we all noticed that. The rules apply only to you and me, my friend. Peasant, as I told you earlier this week, peasant life is a pleasant life.
Yeah.
As long as you don't overthink it. Black Rifle Coffee Company's in trouble again with people who actually are conservatives. And Minnesota State Rep John Thompson. This guy is really doing a number on himself. This is probably my favorite story of the week.
You got giddy talking about that one before the show, so I'm pretty jacked to hear what this is.
It's so good. It's so good. But I wanted to I don't know why this popped out. You and I were sharing some stories earlier. And I thought, I got to tell Patrick this because I don't know. Have I ever told you the time I thought I found a dead body in the woods?
No.
Okay. this is just a really random story. I was considering. This is like, it would be a cool guy story.
This is not the way I saw this show starting.
It would be a really cool story if not for the geeky reason I was in the woods. I used to play a lot of disc golf.
All right.
There's the nerd part of it. And a friend of mine and I were playing disc golf at what is the park called? Oh, now I've lost the name of the park. Over there by Gasaway Mansion. Help me out. Timmins Park. We're at Timmins Park playing disc golf. And we get up to the tee. And I look over. And there's a body laying in the woods. Some dude. Looked dead as it gets. In khakis and a white shirt. Like, had left his 9 to 5, I guess, the previous day. Because it was like, I think, probably 9:30 or 10 o'clock on a Saturday. Mid-morning. It wasn't like super early. And there he lays. And so we literally thought he had been killed after a night of partying. And so I feel
like this is a setup for Cold Case Files.
No. Well, it would be a cold... I don't know if technically this could be a cold case. Because I called 911. And I'm talking to the operator.
Chris went out for a round of disc golf. And ended in murder.
He was looking for a hole in one. But what did he find? Murder. Intrigue. Mystery. What happened was, I called 911. And I say, there's a guy here and I think he's dead. And they're like, where are you? So I start telling them I'm at Timmins Park. And I'm over here on the third hole.
Did you poke him with a stick or anything first?
So what
called people and started telling people he's dead?
I called out to him. I was not going to touch him. And in fact,
hello, kind sir.
sir, you're busy. The friend I was with, when I noticed,
he took off running.
I noticed the body. Yes. My friend said, I never thought you would discover it. I figured this would be a great alibi. That's why I was in the area that day. No, he started to go down towards the guy. And I said, whoa, 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 I wouldn't do that. Like, I really wouldn't get down there. Because if that dude's dead and it's a crime scene, we don't want to be involved. That's literally what I say to him. And he stops. He goes, okay, maybe. And I said, let's just call it to him.
I like that idea. And then he just throws one of the discs at him to see if he moves.
It's like bonk him in the face with it. I was like, hey, guy, fella, like that, you know? And he's like, done. I'm telling you, dead. And so I said,
paint a picture here for me, though. He's like in the woods. He's like face up.
Yeah, lying on his back.
Eyes just closed.
As lifeless as it gets, man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't see his chest going up or down.
I mean, no, not from... I mean, we're probably 15 to 20 yards from him.
All right.
Yeah. And so we're on a tee box, and it kind of slopes down. There's a little creek, not much of anything. A crick, if you will. And then you would have had to hop over that, and then he's on the other side of it.
Okay.
And now he looked dead. Like, it's just an eerie... I mean, it's 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
There's a dead body. What are you going to do, right? So I'm yelling at him. Hey.
Play through.
Don't want to be rude. Anyway, as I'm talking to 911, I give him a full description of the guy. He's in khakis and a white shirt. He's got to be dead. Tell the lady exactly where we are. And about, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes into this phone conversation, she's like, okay, we'll get somebody out there as soon as we can. Can you stand by? I'm like, yep, I'll stand by. And then suddenly it moves. And I'm like, oh, he's alive. He's alive. He's getting up. And he looks at us. And I go, hey, man, you okay? Hey, are you okay? I got the police on the phone. Are you okay? Do you need anything? And he stands up. He doesn't say a word. Just gets on his feet. Looks at me, my friend, and turns around and just starts walking. Like, further into the woods and up a hill. And I happen to know that in that direction was a gas station. Because that direction hits Wade Hampton Boulevard, which is Highway 29, main thoroughfare. Anywhere you live around here, you use Wade Hampton a lot. And so he starts walking towards this gas station. It's all Wade Hampton. So I tell the operator, he's on his way towards Wade Hampton. Like, I can see him getting up there, and I can see the gas station, and... She's like, okay. I said, I mean, if you're going to send somebody, I'd send them to the gas station, and they'll probably cut him off up there. Okay, we appreciate it. And that was it. And so that was probably, I don't know, 10 to 15 years ago. And oftentimes I wonder, what became of that man? Did he leave the woods and turn his life around? Did he leave the woods and think, I'd have gotten away with it if not for those pesky kids? I don't know. And the harder part is that I'll never know.
What possibly could it be that he was getting away with?
Who knows? Who knows?
Besides getting like chiggers because he's laying in the woods.
I would like to think that that is the person that listens to this podcast every week. That's our download.
Yeah.
And now he just unsubscribed. He's like, well, okay. But before you do, sir, if you'll email me, I'd love to hear what became of you. Did he turn his life around? Did he continue on what I think was obviously an alcoholic bend?
We could try to crowdsource one of these things like people do when they find like a wedding band on the beach, you know, and they try to like rally everybody to figure out like who the owner is. We could probably put this story out there and see if we can find that guy and get him on the show.
This is what I'm thinking.
You two could hug it out, reminisce about that day and how you saved his life, I guess, maybe. Something like that.
You are 100% correct. Here's what I'm thinking. Our buddy Stump's going to be here next week anyway. What if he wears a white shirt and khakis?
What if it was Stump?
It was not. Oh, maybe it was.
But what if it was?
What if it was? I think, I hate to make you feel old, I think Stump would have been like 10. And I would remember that it was like a 10-year-old kid. That would have been worse. What I was thinking was Stump plays the dead body in the woods. You play my friend.
Yeah.
We reenact it. We send the video out, make it viral.
I like this.
Okay.
Can we give it a cold case vibe, though?
Absolutely. Like kind of 100%.
Bite the show's style a little bit.
I'm trying to think who we could have narrate it, like the face on the camera. And I think I got a guy. Got a guy in mind.
You got to get somebody so deadpan.
I don't know, man. It's a toss-up in my brain right now if we get Wes or George to do it. Either one of them's a home run. I'm kind of leaning towards Wes just because
I don't like it.
Because he has the blasé demeanor in the first place. I vote Wes. So Wes narrates. You and I reenact Stumps the dead body in the woods. This is going to be a viral hit.
I think, okay, I'm good with all that. But let's not leave George out. I think George could be the 911 operator.
Yes.
If we're going to cast it, let's cast it. That's all I'm saying.
With his devil-may-care attitude, he would make a fantastic 911 operator right there on the switchboard. Like,
what do you mean somebody's dead?
So what? We got things to do. All right, anyway.
You think he knows how to lay tile? Well, he's no use to me. You can have him.
Not anymore, obviously. Anyway, all right. That's all. All right, we were telling stories a few days ago, and that popped in my head, and I didn't get a chance to share it. I thought I'd share it here. Okay, we did Operation Underground Railroad. Let's talk. Let's start here. Black Lives Matter. Here's what I love about this Black Lives Matter. If you don't know, Black Lives Matter comes out in support of the Cuban regime this week, according to the New York Post, and, by the way, according to Black Lives Matter, blaming their protests in Cuba on the United States. Not enough that our own State Department said it was about COVID and rising cases in COVID. As I mentioned earlier,
a trusted source. That State Department of ours.
Right. There are people in the streets of Cuba now, by the way, giving interviews and saying this is not about COVID.
Oh, yeah.
How dumb, but like, it. Sometimes I think, not sometimes, nearly every day I consider Joe Biden must be incredibly grateful for his dementia because he doesn't have to feel dumb. He won't remember anything long enough to feel stupid for having done it. So that's a blessing. That's a real silver lining.
We've had a president have that issue. And Reagan kind of got away with that whole Iran-Contra thing with his dementia. So
hey,
just saying.
Okay.
You got nothing.
If there's a silver lining to Grand Pippi not knowing your name at Thanksgiving, it is the fact that he doesn't recognize how absurd he really is. Because he even released a statement saying this was about COVID, and now those people are saying it's not about COVID.
Okay. But who's the most relieved that he has dementia?
Kamala Harris.
Is it? Maybe.
Or his wife.
Or is it Hunter Biden? Because now the big guy can't remember if he got his 10% or not. Just a thought.
Patrick, in the 8 years that I've known you, you've said a lot of smart things.
Yeah.
That is, without a doubt, the smartest.
All right.
That is a great observation. Hunter Biden, currently in a bathtub full of methamphetamine, is so excited that his dad thinks the 10%'s already in the account.
Yeah.
Because that 10% is the methamphetamine
right.
that is filling the tub.
He's already spent it.
Yeah. It's already gone. Half up his nose. The other half is a bath.
You got to think, you probably could fill up a whirlpool with 10%.
Yeah. Fair enough.
You they just know tell that him, now. Hey, big guy, I already gave you the 10%. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, yeah. But in reality, we know he didn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, dad.
And you hey, pat him so on the back. Do I get like a trophy or anything for that?
What, for you or for
yeah, that being like the smartest thing I've ever said.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
It's coming.
I wanted to be able to like prove to people that right. I was smart.
Do you remember my story about winning first place in the race where there was nobody else in the race?
Yes.
That's basically what you just did. So I wouldn't brag about it too much, but it'll be a fun story to tell your friends. Hey, do you guys know Chris?
Like as fun as you finding a dead body that wasn't dead, that story?
No. I'm saying you got to put yourself in the scenario where you tell other people. Do you guys know Chris? And they're like, yeah, we know Chris. And you're like, he said that I said the smartest thing he's ever heard. And those people are going to go, okay.
All right.
It's kind of a low barometer, but you do you. What kind of metrics are you running, Elon? All right, anyway.
You just see how excited I am. It's good for you, buddy. Good for you.
Let me get you a trophy. I'll get you one. We'll call Dalen. Dalen will make you a trophy.
All right.
I'm sure of it. Black Lives Matter has said that Cuba is the U.S.'s fault. They've said this is true. The people of Cuba are being punished by the U.S. government because the country has maintained its commitment to sovereignty and self-determination. United States leaders have tried to crush this revolution for decades, BLM complained. Here's the thing. It's almost like you can believe what they say when they say it. Meaning, there's no conspiracy anymore behind saying that Black Lives Matter is a radical Marxist organization. Because that's what they've said they are. And now they've proven it in the things they've said further publicly, right? Sure.
Yeah.
No more of this dog and pony show of, well, they're really about systemic racism or police brutality or whatever it is.
Their prayers have been answered because now it's on full display.
Yeah. Now we know, right?
Well, they don't have to beat around the bush anymore. Just full-on endorse communism mm-hmm. right here in our own hemisphere. In all its glory. Wait a second. That doesn't work.
It is funny how quick nobody wants to mention the type of government that Cuba is.
Yeah.
Right? And even the Biden administration was very, very careful to say authoritarian and not really dive into socialism or Marxism or communism and all the things. As I mentioned last week, I got to spend more time with my friend this week who has gone to Cuba, who has tried to do good for the Cuban people, is all I'll say. And he has seen firsthand the suffering down there. And it's interesting to me because he went, and it's going to sound stupid, but just to put it in perspective, I used to watch, when we had cable TV, I'd watch The Prophet a lot with Marcus Lemonis.
Yeah.
I think he's a brilliant man. He seems like a nice enough guy. But he had a Cuba special, And I remember him going down there and he spent the day with a taxi driver and he heard how the taxi driver worked all day. And then he went to a, like a dry cleaner or something like that and learned how they work all day, or a seamstress maybe, and how she worked all day, whatever it was. And it was, it wasn't like a rosy picture, Cuba. He did a good job of saying they're still suffering, but he was down there trying to help the private business owners of Cuba. So you can juxtapose his experience with my friend's experience, and you start to learn that really 99.9% of those people are not like what Marcus dealt with. And those people work for, this is what my friend says, I'm not the expert, he's been, he's heard, they work like 4 hours a day because they run out of things to do because they all work for the government. But if you don't work for the government, then, you know, what do you get in return? Not a whole lot, right? Because what little you could earn on your own, the government takes, right? And then you're left without everything. So he had a really interesting perspective, and his whole point was the Cuban people are talking about this anyway. The revolution was coming anyway. They knew it was coming. The Cuban people have been talking about it happening, and now it's happening. And it's us in America who are suddenly surprised by it. So Black Lives Matter, supporting Cuba and the regime in Cuba and saying it's America's fault that the people of Cuba suffer. Well, they ignore the fact, obviously, that our embargoes don't bar food and medical supplies and things like that. We know that, right? But they really show their hand as communists and as Marxists. And it's just a great thing that now we can point. What you have to do, I guess, the point I'm making here is you have to remember this moment so that later when something happens, you know, a Stacey Abrams of the world or whomever gains notoriety and you go, no, that person's a lunatic and they're crazy. And somebody goes, whoa, 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 you can't say that. That's a minority you're talking about and you're a racist. You can go, well, wait a second. Remember Black Lives Matter? How it was racist for a little while to criticize them because, you know, Black Lives Matter. Remember what happened with Cuba where they supported the communist regime? Now it's kind of our get out of jail free card is my point. But let me add this. Minnesota State Representative John Thompson, this is the one I was all giddy about before we started. He goes on further to prove what a hoax the Black Lives Matter movement is. Because you can only cry wolf so many times until you really get caught. And boy, has this guy been caught. Now, the Daily Caller has the video of his traffic stop. So I'm going to play a good portion of the 3 minutes of traffic stop because the context is very important. But just listen to this exchange between Minnesota State Representative John Thompson and the police officer that stopped him, who, by the way, stopped him because illegally he's driving through the state of Minnesota with no front license plate on his vehicle. You have to have a front license plate. He didn't have one. Listen.
Why such a hurry?
I don't think I took off like a bat out of here. I just drove off.
All right.
I'm actually the current state representative in this district right here, man. If that makes you good.
With a Wisconsin license?
Yeah, with a Wisconsin license. I'm state representative John Thompson.
All right, so he says, I'm state representative John Thompson, but he has an out-of-state license. He's got a Wisconsin license, but he's driving around in Minnesota. Well, isn't that curious? I wonder why that would be. Well,
there's your license to my card. You're suspended in Minnesota.
You're suspended in Minnesota. What? He has a suspended license in Minnesota?
That's what the computer says. If it's wrong, you have to deal with the DBS.
Thank you. So where'd you pull me over again?
No front plate, and then the way you took off from the light back there.
I'm too old to run from the police, man. You profiled me because you looked me dead in the face, and I got a ticket for driving while black. You pulled me over because you saw a black face in this car, brother, and you. There's no way in hell I'm taking off with you behind me. You looked at me in this car. You looked in this car and busted U-turn and got behind my car. And that's the reason why you. I know. But what I'm saying is what you're doing is wrong to black men. And you need to stop that. Thank you so much. But this ticket means nothing to me. No. I'm going to always have a great day. What I'm saying to you is stop racially profiling black men in their cars, sir. Stop doing that. Yes, you were.
Okay. This is a report from WCCO in Minnesota. Here's Esme Murphy telling you just how funny this is actually about to get.
But this is just the first of Representative Thompson's problems. The second is this basic question. where does Representative Thompson live? Does he live in his state district as required by state law, or does he even live in the state of Minnesota?
Let's let her go.
Address listed on a 2018 speeding ticket in Ramsey County is for Superior, Wisconsin. The address listed on the July 4th ticket of this year is this St. Paul home on Blair Avenue, which is not in his district. He filed paperwork to run for state representative, he checked a privacy box, which is for those with orders of protection or a police report saying he'd been threatened. Checking the box means he had to provide a separate form with a home address. That form is not a public document. Thompson also faces more scrutiny. The Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association wrote to Wisconsin's Attorney General asking him to investigate, saying Thompson had either defrauded the state of Wisconsin or defrauded his constituents in the state of Minnesota.
All right. So he's broken the law by running for office and not living in the district that he wants to represent. But are you ready? You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Now, this is the Washington Post. Piling on.
Okay.
I wish the Washington Post would leave him alone. The man's obviously, he's been through a lot lately. Anyway, the Washington Post is reporting less than a year after he took office. He's the governor now, by the way. So let me just read to you this way. Less than a year later after taking office, state Republican and Democratic officials are calling on Thompson to resign, including Governor Tim Walz. His traffic stop led to a lot of questions, obviously. Since the stop, police reports have surfaced showing that years ago, Thompson was accused of choking and hitting a girlfriend on multiple occasions and once exposing his genitals to a couple of women while children were present. You know, if this fella wouldn't have bought in to the shenanigans and the lies of Black Lives Matter, and he would have just taken his ticket and said, "Officer, I'm very sorry. Very sorry for what I did. I'll get it all straightened out. Have a nice day." There'd be no spotlight on this fella. None whatsoever. But instead, now we know that he's a woman beater, right? Sounds almost like a perverted pedophile in a way, right? There's kids present. And he's showing his stuff around. And then he lied when he ran for office. And said he lived in a district that he didn't live in so that he could be elected to represent that district. And now he's being charged with defrauding the people of his district for that. So nice job, John Thompson. Nice job, Black Lives Matter, because all you have proven is that you are the liars we always believed you were. It's that simple. It helps nobody's cause, by the way. It helps nobody's cause. Any real suffering. And we know it happens, okay? We know that people are mistreated for whatever superficial reasons that the perpetrator may have, right? Like, there are racist police officers. By the way, there's racist black cops and there's racist white cops. We know racist police officers exist because racism is a part of human nature. And as ugly as it is, it's going to infiltrate every sector of our lives. There's not a whole lot we can do about that except root it out once we find it. But to go out and claim racism when you're the bad guy kind of defeats any sympathy or empathy we could have. It's like Bill Cosby wanting us to believe that everyone accused of rape is totally innocent. Like, sure, Bill, you got off on a bit of a technicality.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean you're not guilty. You still did bad things. You know what I'm saying? But it's kind of also nice to see people like this caught with their hand in the cookie jar and having to kind of face up. And
I think this just goes to prove that on nearly every level of the political spectrum, you have this inability to have any humility.
Right.
And I guess maybe that's part of what would drive someone to politics, because I can't for the life of me figure out what would make anyone want to do that with their life.
Narcissism, yeah.
Yeah, so you have this that narcissistic tendency and this issue with hubris and humility that wouldn't allow you to just take the speeding ticket or whatever, the not having a plate on the front of your car.
Right.
Say, all
right.
I'll get that taken care of, sir. Go on about your business. Yeah. And now this guy is fully exposed.
And I don't know.
See what I did?
That was like, woo. Yeah. Probably the second best thing.
Yeah. It was I was trying to outdo myself, and I don't, you know.
Keep going.
I'll keep working
on it. You're up in your game every time you open your mouth, and that's what I like about you. I don't know why his license was suspended in Minnesota. I don't remember that detail.
At least not what we heard.
Yeah, but he did have turned out he had a suspended license in the state where he's an elected representative, and he's driving around with a Wisconsin license in Minnesota. But there you go. All right, they're a bunch of frauds. Just know that. Again, doesn't help anybody. Doesn't help anybody. Doesn't help anybody. Okay, let's go. Well, first of all, let me remind you at FeltRecoilShow.com. If you go to FeltRecoilShow.com, you can learn more about this show at FeltRecoilShow.com. You can learn more about the show because that's our website. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. Specifically, go to FeltRecoilShow.com/MyPatriotSupply. This is where you're going to find links to all sorts of deals that we have put up there for My Patriot Supply. It's insurance for the unknown. Food and water, those are the top two essentials you need for survival. Food and water. Do you need human companionship? Debatable. Debatable. So buy just enough for you or include your family. Totally up to you. But you could lose your job tomorrow, right? The world is very uncertain right now. The economy fell 900 points today. We're going to talk about that when we get to our vote of the week. Who is the president of the United States? Again, it's probably going to continue as long as he's in office. My Patriot Supply gives you entrees, soups, rice, beans, vegetables, everything you need. 25-year shelf life. Buy it now. Put it away. Don't think about it again until you need it. Easy peasy, as my kids like to say. FeltRecoilShow.com/MyPatriotSupply. Hey, you know what's not there?
Tell me.
Black Rifle Coffee.
What?
That's a segue. Black Rifle Coffee Company. If you're listening, or anyone. I think
we need a segue jingle.
We have a good voter jingle. A segue jingle would be nice.
Yeah.
If anyone from Black Rifle Coffee that has access to their marketing and PR people is listening, one of the things I would suggest, one, is to stop having to apologize for poor choices by your CEO. Now, Evan, is it Hafer or Hafer? I don't know. I always see it in print. I don't really hear it pronounced a lot.
I have heard it pronounced, but I don't remember.
Let's say Hafer. H-A-F-E-R. Evan Hafer is one of the founders and I believe still the CEO of Black Rifle Coffee. And he actually seems like a legitimately nice guy. But he also seems like a guy who wants to be friends with everybody in the room as long as it makes him more friends. And the minute he's friends with somebody in the room that can't help him make more friends, he will cast them aside as quickly as possible so that he can continue being the most popular guy in the room.
How did you come to that assessment?
Well, two things, my friend. Number one was Kyle Rittenhouse. You might remember we were pretty – well, I'll say three things. First was I remember seeing Evan on Fox News a long time ago. And he basically besmirched Starbucks in every way possible because Starbucks had asked people to stop open carrying firearms in their stores. He played along with a very false narrative that anybody that had common sense would have recognized was a false narrative that Starbucks was suddenly anti-gun. Starbucks never said you couldn't carry firearms into their locations. They just said you couldn't open carry firearms in the location. And it happened because a bunch of idiots in Washington were carrying guns slung forward and holding them in their hands at a Starbucks right outside, making people very nervous. Listen to me. I'm a gun owner that carries a gun every single day, nearly everywhere I go. If I walk up to my Starbucks and there's a bunch of dudes standing outside after this McMaster deal gets done where people can open carry in public and they have their guns in hand, we're going to have a problem. That's going to make me nervous. I'm going to call the police. I'm going to say that guy is in what I would deem an offensive position with his firearm. It makes me nervous. It makes any logical, rational person nervous to think about that. But Chris, they have a right. They certainly do. But with that right, there's a higher degree of responsibility. Just like voting. You have a responsibility as a voter to vet the person you vote for. You have a responsibility as a gun owner to bear arms responsibly and, quite frankly, politely. Okay, we need to be a polite society. So anyway, that's what Starbucks said. They said, please don't come here and act like you're going to shoot people by holding guns outside in your hands and looking like you're looking for a fight. I agree with that 100%. I got no qualms with it. But Hafer went on Fox News and he dogpiled onto Starbucks and he said, well, we're going to hire 10,000 veterans. He ignoring the fact, by the way, that Starbucks already had a program in place that had hired way more than 10,000 veterans and was putting them through college and putting through their spouse or their child through college as well. Oh, snap. Anyway,
Hafer, it spread like wildfire.
It did. And they got a lot of...
I remember walking into a meeting with a cup of Starbucks and getting just absolutely pummeled by everyone in the room about why am I buying anything from them because they're anti-gun.
Yeah.
And then I went on to essentially explain what you just did.
Yeah.
And everybody just kind of stood there and looked at me like, oh, mm-hmm. Well, that's not what I heard.
Right. Yeah. Black Rifle Coffee can't shake a stick. Like, can't even attempt to shake a stick at the thing Starbucks has done for American veterans. Just, end of story. End of story. Now, that doesn't make Black Rifle Coffee bad people by any means. By any means. It's actually shrewd marketing is what I would say. It's very shrewd. You pile on to this false narrative that's being perpetuated by people that don't know any better. You become a part of the very problem you'll whine about later, right now, which we're about to play for you, and you sell some coffee, no problem. Second issue was with Kyle Rittenhouse, who I think, and I'm on record saying, did a very patriotic thing. He showed up and protected his community when nobody else would, including, but not limited to, the police. The police were overwhelmed. Violent and vile people were overtaking Rittenhouse's part of the world. And Rittenhouse said, I stand ready, and I will guard your property and try to keep you safe, try to defend the community from anarchy. But because he either wore a shirt or a hat that said Black Rifle Coffee Company, mm-hmm. Black Rifle Coffee came out and said, whoa, we disassociate with that fella. We want nothing to do with him. It started, am I remembering this correct? So there was a guy that worked for The Blaze at the time. He had like a show on there, and he had an affiliate link to Black Rifle Coffee Company. And so he said, even Kyle Rittenhouse drinks Black Rifle Coffee Company, and he put his affiliate link. And Black Rifle Coffee lost their mind and said, we don't associate with that. They pulled their advertising from that particular podcast. It was called something offensive. I can't remember. It doesn't matter.
I don't know that I ever heard that story, but that actually makes it even more awesome.
Yeah. So that guy was trying to do a favor and say, you know, here's Kyle Rittenhouse wearing the shirt. Slightly Offensive was the name of the podcast.
All right.
I think. I don't know. I'm not looking. I could Google it, but I refuse. Anyway, I think it was called Slightly Offensive. And so, yeah, the guy posted his affiliate link. Black Rifle Coffee said no more affiliate links for The Blaze and played like they were pulling advertising dollars, even though they weren't. Long story. But the point is, that was strike two for me and Black Rifle. I don't know that this is a strike three. But I do think this is a major kerfuffle because what happened now is Black Rifle Coffee went ahead and thought, hey, here's a good idea. Let's do an interview with the New York Times. Again, because we have to be friendly with all the cool kids in the room.
Right.
And the minute we're not making more friends with other kids we think are cool, we'll kick that kid to the curb. That's not our friend anymore. That's just like that's the way you come off. I don't know what really happens behind the curtain of Black Rifle Coffee. But I think it's fair to say that's public perception. And in fact, that's the only thing that matters in situations like this. The truth rarely matters when it hits the fan. What matters for you as a company is public perception.
And they're learning that the hard way.
Very hard. So one of the Instagrammers got some screen grabs of the article because New York Times wants you to register or pay to read it. That's not going to happen. I'm not going to do that. But this is what...
Why are paywalls even still a thing? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I don't think those companies understand that you can just Google and get it somewhere else.
I don't think they do.
I think the only one worthwhile, Epoch Times or Epoch Times, whatever you want to call it, E-P-O-C-H, you can pay and read their premium content, and it's really, really good. It's like just deeper reporting. So you're not going to find it elsewhere. And it's like $7 a year if you want to do that. So that I pay for. Daily Wire I would pay for just to support them. But, yeah, maybe that's a thing. Like, maybe New York Times knows that there's people that love them enough to support them. I'm just not one of them. Okay. So the Black Rifle Coffee founder claims the St. Michael Catholic necklace is a white supremacist symbol. The people who believe that Kyle Rittenhouse acted in self-defense are Nazis. Here's where that comes from. Matt Best speaking, quote, "You can't let sections of your customers hijack your brand and say this is who you are." That, by the way, that's incorrect. That's what happens. That's called pivoting. There's a whole book on you pivot to what your customer base is or you go broke. So, yeah, you can live by that. You can say you can't let sections of your customers hijack your brand and say this is who you are, but you will go broke. Successful companies must do that. They must follow where the customer base takes them. Otherwise, there's no customers. Anyway, he goes on. It's like, no, we define that. Again, no, you don't. You just don't. You can try, but you don't. You don't. Their customer base, by the way, is bro vets, right? This like machismo. Indeed. You know, I was in for a few years and yay me. And that's all I can talk about. Yay me. I get it. That's cool. That is their clientele. They can go beyond that, by the way. I'm going to say this. That's their base. But everybody's allowed to have more than a base, which they definitely do. They have a cool guy aura. They make really sharp shirts. It's probably their biggest strength because their coffee's not that great. Hate to say it.
It's a touch on the spendy side.
Yeah. Their strength is in t-shirts. They make awesome t-shirts. Like the medic shirt looks like a medic, but it says coffee. Awesome. Good job. Keep doing that. But they have their base, and they know who their base
marketing
is.
Marketing game.
It's strong. Point. It's strong.
Yep.
This defies it. What he's saying here defies what they do for marketing, right? Like, they appeal to their base. They're not telling their base where to go. They're finding who their base is, and they're selling to them. So this is kind of like lip service, I guess I would say, but good for him. Yeah. By the way, Matt Best, legitimately, super nice guy. Super nice. There's a great, I think, hour-long interview with him and Glenn Beck where he's very candid. I think he's a super nice guy. But I do believe he's wrong here, okay? Just from a branding and marketing and business perspective, if you open a company and you realize your customers aren't buying the product you thought they would buy, but they are buying this subsidiary product that you created, you don't make more of the first product and go, "Stop it, that's not who we are. We make this." You make more of the other product, right?
I mean, you can.
Right, sure.
But I wouldn't.
Yeah. The Rittenhouse episode, as the article continues here, the Rittenhouse episode may have cost the company thousands of customers, but Hafer believed it also allowed Black Rifle to draw a line in the sand. Quote, "It's such a repugnant group of people," Hafer said. "It's like the worst of American society, and I got to flush the toilet of some of those people that kind of hijacked portions of the brand." Then again, the article continues, what Hafer insisted was a super clear delineation was not clear to everyone. As I don't know who Munchel is or Munkel, his choice of headgear vividly demonstrated. The racism really pisses me off, Hafer said. I hate racist, proud, boyish people. Like, I'll pay them to leave my customer base. I would gladly chop all of those people out of my customer base and pay them to get out. End quote. If that was the case, I asked, says the New York Times writer, had Black Rifle, which sells a thin blue line coffee, considered changing the name of its Beyond Black Rifle coffee, a dark roast it's sold for years, to Beyond Black Lives Matter? Surely that would alienate the racists polluting its customer base. Stop right there. Stop. This shows, by the way, the leanings and tendency of the New York Times. Like, Black Lives Matter is a racist Marxist organization, as we just outlined. And this person is saying, if you don't want racists buying your coffee, you should associate with these other racists over here.
With the racists on the other side.
What an idiot. And it goes on and on. And there's stuff in there about George Floyd and St. Michael. And I don't really understand all that.
I'll tell you what this feels like to me. Mm-hmm. This feels like everybody has that one buddy that's really into soccer. And he's like, you got to really pull for my soccer team.
Manchester United and or I'm die. Like,
no, I don't.
Right, yeah. I don't have to do any of that.
And the reason why is because I don't like soccer. Right?
Right.
But he thinks because I don't pull for his team that I must be rooting for the other team.
Fair enough. Very but fair.
Really, I just don't like soccer.
Yeah.
That's what this feels like to me.
Mm. Mm.
Just saying.
Here's what I can't understand. Help me understand this. And I mean this legitimately. The end of this is a meme.
I don't know how to explain soccer to you, Chris.
The end of this is a meme.
Just told you I hate it.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't make any sense to me either. So you kick the ball and then you chase it?
We have hands. But we have hands.
The other guy's going to kick it back this way.
Just use your hands.
Or your face. So there's a meme that says, BRCC, Black Rifle Coffee Company. We don't want our brand to be taken over by racists. And it says also BRCC, Thin Blue Line. Are they calling police racists with that meme?
That's exactly what they're doing.
Okay, all right. I don't understand that. I don't think police are racist people. But it's there. All right, anyway. Look, Hafer doesn't help himself with these little Instagram stories. I don't know who's advising him and saying, hey, you know what you should do? Get on Instagram and talk for 9 minutes and 16 seconds. But that person should be fired.
What could possibly go wrong?
Well, here.
Hey, so...
Oh, by the way, language warning. There will be some language here.
Couple spicy days on the internet, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Take some time and set the record straight. If you haven't heard, there is a significant amount of misinformation being put out on the internet about Black Rifle and about statements that I've made.
Okay. Two things. And again, seems like a legit dude. I wish him all the best. Graham Allen says he supports them. If you don't know who Graham Allen is, think, hey, if I wanted to rip off Adam Carolla and make a living out of it, what would I do? Oh, I'd be Graham Allen. That's Graham Allen for you. He's even by the way, and I'm saying that because he's trying to trademark the rant. And anybody that's ever listened to Adam Carolla knows Endless Rant IPA, yada yada. That's what Carolla's known for is his rants.
You. All right.
It's not funny if you have to explain it. But I'm looking at Instagram and I just happen to see it.
I don't know who this person is you're talking about.
Nah, don't worry about it then. Don't worry about it. Poor man's version. The problem there's two things that are already an issue 20 seconds in. Number one, he never says that the misinformation comes from the New York Times. If it does come from the New York Times, if you've been misquoted, that's the first thing you say. Okay? Number two, body language. Anybody who's ever, for 5 minutes, read up on how to know if someone's lying, I'm just saying, I'm not saying he's lying, I'm just telling you this is a thing, is that a liar looks down and away from the subject. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
Okay. Hafer.
No.
Continually in this video, down and away. Down and away.
All right.
All the time in this video.
And I think it's really important for everybody to get this directly from me. Number one.
Down and away.
First and probably the most important inaccuracy and any story published is that I've somehow made derogatory statements towards my customers or conservatives. And I'll give you the context behind this. So the actual conversation was taking place around anti-Semitism and racism in America. And then our attack, because we were attacked last year by a group of very organized anti-Semites, if you didn't know, and they were targeting me because of my last name and because of my heritage. We were purely discussing that. I said, anti-Semites and racists do not have a place in my company, and I will gladly tell them to leave.
Now, that can very well be true, and I hope it is, and I don't doubt the guy. But what I am saying is, again, you're 90 seconds in. We're not going to play the whole 9 minutes. We'll play a couple minutes more. But you're 90 seconds in, and you still haven't made it clear that what you're saying is that the New York Times misquoted or made things up about you.
But what he's actually just said is, I'm reading as he's talking about employees. He's not saying customers, right? But in the article, he says he wants them out of his customer base. What he's saying there, to me, sounds more like employees.
Like
it sounds like a huge departure. You think he found racist
employees?
No, I think he's full of crap. Oh. I think it's a departure from what the article actually says.
All right, I'm going to back it up. Let's listen again.
Statements towards my customers or conservatives. And I'll give you the context behind this. So the actual conversation was taking place around anti-Semitism and racism in America. And then our attack, because we were attacked last year by a group of very organized anti-Semites, if you didn't know. And not they were customers. Targeting me because of my last name. And
I think he means the company, right? Like BRCC was attacked. That's the way I take
maybe,
it.
Maybe. But those aren't his customers. He's not going to buy them out, right?
Wasn't oh, it, I see what you're saying.
In the article?
That well, would, yeah, I think he was saying I would pay them. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, it's just a fine line there.
That's weird.
Because of my heritage. We were purely discussing that. I said, anti-Semites and racists do not have a place in my company, and I will gladly tell them to leave and pay them. So that's what I was referencing. The context of the conversation was only in my about company. That. And I was never referencing conservatives or putting those groups together with conservatives, which I think is very important. I'm a conservative. I think most of you guys have either listened to the show Free Range American or you listen to me, you know, run my mouth in a wide variety of ways, but I cannot emphasize that more. There was never a derogatory statement put out towards the conservative aspects of our country. Is towards racism and anti-Semitism.
I believe all that. I think all that's true.
That was number one. Number two, St. Michael. So St. Michael is a patron saint of paratroopers. That image is something that I've been directly connected with for over 20 years. I carried a pendant of St. Michael to Iraq, Afghanistan, Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Rome. I have zero issue with that image.
All right. Here's the thing. The New York Times article says that he said this artwork of St. Michael will never see the light of day. Remember that?
Yep.
It'll never see the light of day. Now listen to him.
Zero. We did a piece of art that we still have in our art department with St. Michael holding an SBR. And around the same time that we finished it, the DOD had released a list of images that could be deemed inappropriate or extreme in nature. That was one.
Okay. Pause. Who cares? Do you remember? Am I so old or dumb? Does no one else remember that Barack Obama said guys like you and I were the number one threat to the United States of America? Do we not remember the Department of Defense outlining who the threat was to America and making it white male conservatives who were disenchanted with the government? Do you remember this?
Of course.
Okay, and they started talking about militias arming up, people who defied big government were extremists. Remember all this? We were the enemy. We were the enemy. Who cares what the Department of Defense thinks about what racism is or what a threat to America is anymore? It's lost all credibility. It has lost all credibility. Nobody should care. Black Rifle Coffee should be smart enough to know that it doesn't matter what the Department of Defense thinks is racist because Department of Defense thinks you and I are the problem.
They don't answer to the Department of Defense.
Right. But that's a great point. Great point. But if they're play, even if they play that shield and we give them that, and we go, oh, yeah, you know, he's acting like he's still in the military. Like, well, we're going to wait for an explanation from the higher ups.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah, you don't have to. That's a good point. You don't have to. You're not in the military anymore. Welcome to regular life, right? But they want to hide behind that facade of, well, we need to wait for clarification from the DOD.
The DOD
hates us.
Saying that the patron saint of paratroopers has been co-opted by right-wing racist militiamen.
Yes.
Is that what that's what I'm supposed to believe?
Yeah, it's not going to go over well for their okay sign coffee either. That's dead in the water.
Man, I was really looking forward to that.
Yeah, it was going to be awesome, but
it's just hot water.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this. I want to follow this down a rabbit hole for a second. Right. How many guys in militias?
There's 9 in mine. Oh, is that not the question?
Okay. We'll use yours specifically.
Sure.
Because it's a perfect example. All
right, cool.
How many guys in your militia of the 9 of you?
Yeah.
I like that you couldn't even make it to 10. But how many of the 9 of you are jumping out of planes to where you thought you might need the protection of St. Michael?
One of us did for his 40th, but that's been it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not into like occupied territory.
No, I was too afraid. I wasn't gonna do it. I'm not Catholic, so I didn't think any saint was gonna save me. It's like, nah, man, it's between me and God.
You're like, all I got's Jesus.
Yeah. All I've got is grace. Not my works. Splat. Dummy.
Yeah, you're dead.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's a good point. How many of these people are paratroopers? Yeah.
Like I just can't believe, really, you're not going to be able to convince me that everything is, every symbol that anyone comes up with is suddenly, like, remember when the okay symbol, the hand symbol?
Yeah, that's what I was saying, yeah.
Like,
KKK?
That suddenly is racist, like.
Yeah.
You just can't convince me that everything can become racist because a racist
absolutely
says
can.
Something about it or uses it.
It's the nature of our society, right? Like, you can just say that something is suddenly racist. And it is, like, this was an innocuous made you look game where they would make the okay symbol below the belt somewhere. And then made you look. You take pictures and all that. And then a year later, people go, that means KKK. Oh, my God. No. Right? And suddenly everybody that ever did it was a racist. Yeah, you're only playing that game if you're trying to placate everybody. And that's what they're doing, and that's what's so annoying. Here he goes.
I have no idea why, but we were just in the position that if the DOD is going to label this, then we're going to have to flush it out and figure out why before we move forward.
No, you
don't. It was one of 800 different designs that I say either yay or nay to throughout the year. So
again, has nothing to do with anything. That
weird
piece of knowledge.
Bro.
Yeah, that has nothing. Who cares that you either approve or disapprove 800 pieces of art a year? Nobody cares. Has nothing to do with anything that we're talking about. Why did you care that the Department of Defense, at what was likely, I'm going to guess, a very liberal-leaning administration, why do you care? Who cares that some white nationalist hijacked the symbol and said, this is ours now? Who cares? You know what Black Rifle Coffee should be more worried about is they use the Blackbeard logo on all their stuff, right? They use that Blackbeard to do with the spear and all that. Yep. It's Blackbeard's logo. Everybody else is using it now. Right. So is that their admission by not suing all of those people? Are they admitting that they stole it too? That's kind of what I think every time I see it everywhere is, okay, obviously they weren't creative enough to come up with their own thing.
So it still hangs on our wall. We have zero issue with it. And we'll get clarification from the DOD as to why it was put on that list.
As Hulon said, why do you care? Your privately held company, Department of Defense, can't tell you not to use a symbol on your packaging.
Number 3, he asked me, well, why don't you change beyond black to beyond BLM? And I said, no, it'll never happen. That was it. You know, we took a significant amount of time, and I think for clarification purposes is also important, which is why would we do an interview with the New York Times? Because we have a responsibility, and when I say that, we have a responsibility to the veteran community, to the company, to give reporters the opportunity to write an objective story about the company so we can focus, as we always do, on veteran-specific issues. Highlighting veteran issues.
How'd that work out
really,
for you?
Really big piece of Black Rifle Coffee's mission.
And nobody, as a result of this, nobody's talking about veteran issues. Nobody.
Swing and a miss.
Yeah. Didn't work. Didn't work. All right. That's Hafer explaining himself. We got one more thing to do, and then I'll let you get out of here. Are you ready to get out of here?
Yeah. I mean, I'm getting kind of bored.
Right.
I'm an ambitious officer.
One voter. Everybody knows the rules.
I need to be a part of the 100 Club.
It's Joe Biden's economy. Yay. Joe Biden's economy. Well, we'll just tell it to you like it is. Breitbart.com. Joe Biden boasts of economic boom as the Dow falls more than 900 points. Yes. Joe Biden defending his administration's handling of the economy Monday, even as the stock market plunged, saying, quote, "Our economy has come a long way over the last 6 months. It can't slow down now." Biden spoke as the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell more than 700 points before he began speaking and continued to drop further to a 900-point collapse after he finished. The president described economic progress in the United States under his presidency as a boom, despite continued widespread unemployment and labor shortages. Do you know it's true? My son, thank you, Lord, for this answer to prayer. Thank you. My oldest son has decided that Schlotzky's is one of his favorite restaurants now. And our kids all have their own activities throughout the week. You'll learn this one day. And so when they have...
Mine already do.
When they have their given thing that they do, I always let them choose where we eat afterwards. So it makes it like a special day, right? And so I was able somehow to convince my oldest that Schlotzky's would be a good idea one night rather than whatever other fast food mumbo jumbo he was thinking about. And we ended up there, and he thought it was amazing, which I love Schlotzky's. I love it enough that I used to work for him and eat them out of house and home while I was there. So anyway, we rolled up tonight and couldn't eat inside. They had a sign up that said, due to the labor shortage, staffing issues, just go through the drive-thru, really, really sorry. And I thought, oh boy, that's wrapping up soon. You know, now that the federal funding won't be there for that, these people are going to have to go back to work. They're going to have to go back to work.
That's what you think, bud.
Oh boy.
What's coming? Can we break the bad news?
Please.
The $300 a month per child tax credit is on its way.
That's true. That already kicked in. That kicked in.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're getting that for 6 months. Yeah, that's true. So you think those people will stay at home?
Oh, yeah.
That's true. I could see that. You're a single mom, single parent of any sort. You're waiting tables, and now you get your, what is it? It's $250. Hold on, I can break this down. I believe it's $250 per child 6 to 17 years old and $300 for each kid under 6. Yeah.
I think it's more than that.
Is it?
Yeah. I think 6 to 17 was $300. It's $350 under 6.
Okay. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I could see that. I mean, the government can incentivize in ways that few others can't. Because they can steal our money and have it at the ready to buy votes.
Give it back to you.
Yeah. And then
you say thank you.
Make it feel like a gift.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a world, man. What a world. Anyway, that's Biden for you. The guy's just a perpetual voter.
Wait a second, though.
Yeah.
What did he say? Because you told me this before we started. What did he say? He said the economy can't get any worse or something to that effect.
It can't slow down now. And then it fell 900 points today.
Right.
I don't have a large stock portfolio. I really don't. I lost just over $200 today. Yeah. And it's just continue. And by the way, I'm down $3,000 in the last several weeks. So it's just adding to what has really already been a hard time.
Should have put that money into Bitcoin.
You put some money in there. Yeah. Let me. By the way. Let me be real clear here. I got to thank Donald Trump for the fact that it's not like I lost money that was mine, because what I did was bought in when COVID hit in March of 2019. I took some money out of savings and I bought in heavy, because I felt like it'll never get lower. It's bad. Buy now and then wait it out. And we did, and we've been very fortunate. I'm not complaining. But everything we've gained, everything we made, is almost gone. Like, we're about at a break-even point because it's so bad. Yeah. Yep. Every day. You lose hundreds of dollars every day.
But, I mean, in fairness, you can sleep easy tonight knowing can't get any worse.
Yeah, that's true. You can only go up from here. I was looking.
Crazy Uncle Joe said so.
Fair enough. What do I do to convince Hunter I'm the new big guy? Think I just show up? Like, when he's coked out, laying in the bathtub, do I just walk in and go, hey, new big guy in town? I give him a routing number.
You just rough him up a little bit.
Okay. Shake him by the collar.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
You don't like break his kneecaps or anything, but you definitely put the fear of God in him.
When you think about it, that dude's got more money than you or I could ever imagine.
I don't know if you know this, but he's an artiste.
Did you see that, like, they sold a Picasso for $50,000, something like that?
I did.
And his are at minimum bid at, like, $500,000?
Minimum.
What are we doing? What are we doing? This cokehead, druggy.
We're buying access, sir.
So what I'm saying is, this dude's got more money than you and I can ever imagine. I imagine you shaking by the collar a little bit, and he's going to dump millions onto you just to let him go.
I think we should do an experiment.
I'm open.
What was the Eddie Murphy movie in the 80s?
Beverly Hills Cop.
Nope, not that one.
Coming to America.
Not that one either. And he had a lot of hits. The one where they give him the money. They swap him with the guy.
I told you the two I know, man.
Yeah, I can't think of the name of them.
The Gene Wilder movie where they have to spend it all in a given amount of time?
No. It's the stock guys with the frozen orange juice concentrate.
Oh.
Mortimer. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I know the movie, but I don't know the title.
I think we have to do that. We have to do like a switch. So we give some rich
trading
guy,
places.
There it is. We give some rich guy some crack and a paintbrush and see if he can turn that into $500,000 paintings. Oh. And then we just put Hunter in as like a CEO of some Fortune 500.
That doesn't make any sense. We don't have to do that because of what Hunter's already doing.
Oh, crap.
You already have a crackhead with a paintbrush.
Crap, we already did it.
Yeah, he is the CEO. No, I'm sorry, dude. That's a huge hole in the plot of your story, but I have to point it out because we're friends. I don't want to see you continue down this path and get embarrassed publicly.
Sorry.
Anything else?
No, I'm
big
done.
Big dummy?
I'm done.
I mean, I was going to have a trophy made for you and everything.
I feel like I'm back to zero.
You broke even this week.
Hey, that's better than your stock portfolio.
That's right, man. You are right. Hey, what do you say we come back in 7 days? Let's bring Stump along. He'll talk about the 85 death shoot. But also, let's solve all the world's problems.
You've got yourself a deal, sir.
All right. We'll be back.